Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Welcome back to all of the dear brethren that was away. We miss you very much. And also, welcome back to our dear brother Father as well. If any one of the little tiny talk, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, would like to open their section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. And the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect every people who is not in the Sabbath and is in the Sabbath. And please protect the Sabbath people and the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. It is time for story time, and we're going to have a listening ear, but I would like to just have a small announcement. This is the last part of our chapter 19 entitled Judas, and at the end we are going to have a little paragraph for reflection. And I hope by God's grace that you all will be blessed by it. And I'm going to pass it to our dear brother to share.
Right? Sure. Look at this one.
Okay, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew chapter 27. And thank you. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is unlawful to put them into the treasury because it's the price of blood." I'm surprised they said that. And they took counsel and bought with them the field, the potter's field, to bury strangers in. Therefore the field is called the field of blood unto this day at the writing of this, because it probably doesn't have that name today. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, later that same day on the road from Pilate's judgment hall to Calvary. The wicked throng were leading the Savior to the place of crucifixion. Suddenly there came an interruption in their shouts and jeers. As they passed a retired spot, they saw at the foot of a tree, a lifeless tree, the dead body of Judas. It was a revolting sight." In other words, it made you sick at your stomach. "His weight had broken the cord by which he had hanged himself to the tree. In falling, his body had been horribly mangled, damaged, tore up, and the dogs were devouring it or eating his body. That would be revolting. His remains were immediately buried out of sight, but there was less mockery, and many a pale face revealed the fearful thoughts within. Retribution seems already to be visiting those who were guilty of the blood of Jesus." That may be what they thought. "Judas did not, however, believe that Christ would permit himself to be arrested. In betraying him, it was his purpose to teach him a lesson." Can you imagine teaching Jesus a lesson? "He intended to play a part that would make the Savior careful henceforth to treat him with respect." You see, Judas was still angry because at Simon's feast, when Judas brought up this idea, "Why, this perfume could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor," Jesus had said, "Let her alone. What she's done, she did to anoint my body." That is the only time Jesus ever reprimanded Judas, and it burned him, made him mad. So he wanted Christ to give him more respect. But Judas knew not that he was giving Christ up to death. How often, as the Savior taught in parables, the scribes and Pharisees had been carried away with his striking illustrations. How often they had pronounced judgment against themselves. Often when the truth was brought home to their hearts, they had been filled with rage and had taken up stones to cast at him. But again and again, he had made his escape. Since he had escaped so many times, thought Judas, he certainly would not now allow himself to be taken. But Judas didn't pay any attention to the fact that Jesus many times had said, "Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." But on that trip to Jerusalem, he said, "Mine hour has come." This was taken from Desire of Ages, page 7, probably 19 and 20. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, dear Father. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing part 3, which is our last part of our chapter, Judas, in our tiny talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place July the 27th, 2024. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is time for our tiny tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. Continuing in our topic, mammals of the Bible, let's have a listening ear, dear ones, because our dear brother will be the one to share.
God blesses everyone here's today with questions concerning mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson, our topic now for the Bible, taken from John chapter 10, and lesson 3, the Good Shepherd. And verses 1 to 5 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but crieth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, or flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Today's lesson is lesson 3, domestic sheep. And the memory verse for the entire lesson is Revelation 7:17. He says, "For the lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." The character quality, this story is care versus indifference. Cares to have an interest, concern about another person as Christ cares about all of us. Nature, the domestic sheep. Sheep were a very important animal in Bible times and even today. They are used for food and clothing. Wool was a wonderful natural fiber that could be made into fabric for clothing. Long ago, shepherds cared for the flocks of sheep in the field to guard them against attack by wild animals. The male sheep is called a ram, the female a ewe, and the baby a lamb. Usually rams have horns, but in some breeds both ewes and rams have horns. Sheep walk on hoofs that are divided into two toes. They have thin ankles, and the upper part of their legs have strong muscles that help them move about quickly when necessary. Sheep have no incisor or cutting teeth on their upper jaw. On the lower jaw, they have 8 cutting teeth. Sheep have 6 grinding teeth in the back part of their jaw. Sheep can bite off grass closer to the ground than other animals. Both sheep have long tails, but they are usually cut off to help them stay clean. Sheep live about 7 years, but can live as long as 13. The ewe will give birth to one or two, and sometimes even three lambs at a time. The ewe carries the lambs in her body for 5 months before they are born. Sheep seem to be very helpless animals and need each shepherd's care. We are like the sheep, only we need to be protected from the roaring lion called Satan. Sheep show the quality of meekness and quietness. They follow the shepherd without question, even though it might lead them to death. Sheep have no instincts to guide them when they get lost. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. Psalm 119, 176. See also Jeremiah 56. The sheep sheepfold is often a temporary pen where the shepherd keeps sheep. When he is away from home, he will build a fence of thorn brush or root bowers. This can set the flock at night. Ezekiel 34, 14. Sometimes a cave is used. When at home, a more permanent shelter is built, usually on the sunny side of a hill. This protects the sheep from the cold wind. There is an open pen and also a shed-like structure with a roof and walls. Large stones are used in constructing the outside walls. Sharp thorn bushes are put on the top of the shed to protect the sheep from wild animals and from robbers. There is a gate that is guarded by the shepherd. John 10:9. My one, if you work together as a family, let your chores and many of your lessons. These are things you do while you're moving. Two, as you sew a wool garment, hang up your fleece-lined coat, if you have one of them, that is, or if you can sew, be reminded of your lessons. When your parents lock the door of the house at night, remember the sheep being safe inside the closed sheepfold. Three, know the spent yards, but let them remind you of the sheepfold. Next is the reinforced activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. One, look for sheep. Use an encyclopedia to determine the breed. Two, sing to him, Savior, like a shepherd. If you don't know it, you're free to learn it. Three, collect pieces of wool cloth and notice the difference in textures and quality. Visit a fabric store to see the variety of wool cloth. Four, for individual activities, stories, and poems, use the booklet titled Children's Bible Activities, Stories, and Poems for this quarter. Five, say your memory verse. Each type of this book, pages 193, paragraph 3 to 191, paragraph 0. Says here, this world is but Adam in the vast domains over which God presides. Yet this little fallen world, the one lost seed, is more precious in respect than are the 99 that went not astray from the fold. And below the picture of the hands, which is supposed to represent God's hands over the world, for God so loved the world. And above this picture of this sheep grazing, one lost world, a wider meaning. Let's hear our nature occupancy one. Let's use a listening ears goal one. Well, here is pictures from our dear sister Joan and myself. They're sharing their nature scenery. On the left picture are Oregon hills and mountains with fir trees. And on the next is, on the right is more trees in the road to town. Next, this is the last slide from our dear sisters, their settler scenes of the logging in their hills and mountains. On the left are more pictures of more hills or mountains with trees. It says, new growth on hillside previously logged along with large trees kept standing. In the middle is a truck carrying, you know, all sorts of logs that have been cut from trees that have been cut down. And on the right are more trees he's on the another side of another hill, or maybe it's the same hill. The tall trees are left by loggers as the E trees. They would have been the same size if they weren't logged. Next is our dear sister Susie and family sharing an amazing medicine and vegetable garden. On the top left are pictures of tea bags, which found to be these varieties: chamomile, calendula, chicory, marshmallow, California poppies, evening primrose, yarrow, lavender, echinacea, and everview. And on the bottom of the picture of these seed packets are some of these flowers being planted. And on the right are cucumbers and a pepper plant. Sister Cecilia, would you like to share your experience from these garden photos?
Sure. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Sabbath blessings, Josh. So Josh, you mentioned in these, you can't see all of the pots there, but there are about four of them with some of the seeds in there, the chamomile, the echinacea, lavender, and evening primrose. And there's also like a herb of scallions. Whenever we use the scallions and we cut off the end part of it, we replant it, and that's what we use for seasoning. I think I mentioned last time that we did the nature walk that I had some cucumber plants, some in my garden bed and some in like containers. And you could see the cucumber plants was taking over the entire garden because they're vines, so they run on every single thing. So what I was doing here at the time was trying to replace them by putting up some things to kind of have them grow higher as opposed to running on the soil. And so I moved some of these like maturely planted peppers, and you could see that they're wilted a little bit. These were what I was saying that I was worried about. One of the cucumber plants didn't survive, was trying to kind of move it. You could see it on the vine there, but that is what I was trying to, that's what I was explaining the last time. So these are the wilted ones from when I try to rearrange the garden. Sorry about that. And here are some figs, a fig tree. There are two or three of them in my neighborhood, but this is the largest one, the one that has the most. And here, this is my neighbor's plant, and she always likes to share the figs with me. She makes jam from them and everything. For me, figs are an acquired taste. So, but I'm trying my best to see it because there's a lot of benefits to them. And so I tried this one that is in the center of my hand. I didn't share the picture of when I cut it, but it's an interesting taste to me. And continuing from my garden. So I was a little bit, it's the texture. I'm very much a texture person. So it's like, I tried. I promise. And when I learned about the benefits of it, I said I was going to try my best. I tried. I did. But I don't know if I'm sold yet. okay. And then so from continuing from my garden. So from the cucumber plants, I was able to get about 5 or 6 cucumbers thus far. and some string beans and bitter melon. And bitter melon is really, really good for diabetes. So yeah, I'm growing those for that purposes, to either juice them so that we can have them as a remedy for that. But I do want to give a praise the Lord because after restructuring the garden, I was really, really disheartened at the wilted plants that you saw in the pictures before. And I was like, oh man, I should have probably left it. I killed my garden this year. I'm just so sad. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I watered and watered and watered. I was like, maybe, they were like, you know, they were mature, and so they had to like find their rooting in this new spot. But praise the Lord, through much prayer and not one of my, except for the one cucumber plant, which I was okay with because it was overran, all of the plants kind of came back to life. And even the tomato plant also, which was looking like that was it for it. So I praise the Lord for that. I got also a new cucumber plant, a new tomato plant, 2 new tomatoes plant as well, because I was really, really sad about the other one. And it was my first time planting tomatoes because I know that they attract the squirrels and like the raccoons and things like that. And I didn't want them to attack my garden as well. So I was like, a little bit iffy. But by God's grace, other than that one cucumber plant that died, I the garden came back to life, and they are all budding now. They're having peppers. As you can see, I picked some red peppers and some green peppers from one of those. And so I was able to share some of these cucumbers, and the other cucumber plants have more cucumbers on it as well. I wish you we're close by so that you'll be able to partake of some of it. But by the grace of God, just wanted to share these pictures as well. Yeah, these were the pictures of this more shows what was happening with the pepper plants as I moved them over to this section. And the one cucumber plant that died. But praise God, they no longer look like this. I'll take a more updated picture of them, and they're flourishing, and thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing, dear family. And remember, little ones, tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. I gotta stop focusing too much on the slide. Sometimes I forget where I am. But everything has been so beautiful. The way how the Lord grows everything. My mind was still there. Forgive me. Welcome to all the precious family. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Because He Lives. It's on the hymn book, number 526. If you would like to hear the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die to buy my pardon. An empty grave, is it to prove my Savior lives? Because he lives, I give face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the call of assurance and this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open the family reading with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father, blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Thank you for the sad blessings. Please protect the word that we're gonna be learning. Please protect the people that's here and the people that's not here, and they can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 62, from the King James Version, and it reads, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and also our guests and those that will be listening to the recording in our later day, we will continue and also end with part 7 of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take one of the verses, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 63, King James Version. Saying, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again."
Matthew chapter 27, verse 64. "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first."
Matthew 27, verse 65, King James Version. Pilate said unto them, ye have which, have a witch, go,
watch,
go your way, make it as sure as ye can. Matthew 27, verse 66, King James Version. So they went and made the
sepulcher
short sitting,
sealing
the stone and
setting
a watch.
Good job. Amen.
Psalm 2:1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalm 2:2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
Matthew chapter,
Psalms
chapter 2 verse 3, King James Version. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Psalms 2 after 4, King James Version.
Psalms chapter 2, verse 4.
Verse 4, King James Version. He said that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in their derision.
Amen. Good job.
Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Today we will cover pages 777 through 778. Welcome to all the precious family. We are in the Desired Ages, page 777. Who would like to take the first paragraph here once? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing. They could rest little upon the Sabbath. Though they would not step over a Gentile's threshold for fear of defilement, yet they had a counsel concerning the body of Christ. Wow. Death and the grave must hold him, whom they had crucified. The chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And on the slide, it says the Sabbath. And it reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. And continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 through 65. This was taken from the Desire of Ages, page 777, paragraph 3. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 777. The priests gave directions for securing the sepulcher. A great stone had been placed before the opening. Across this stone, they placed cords, securing the ends to the solid rock, and sealing them with the Roman seal. The stone could not be moved without breaking the seal. Continuing, a guard of 100 soldiers was then stationed around the sepulcher to prevent it from being tampered with. The priests did all they could to keep Christ's body where it had been laid. He was sealed as securely in his tomb as if he were to remain there through all time. Desire of Ages, page 778, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 778. So weak men counseled and planned. Little did these murderers realize the uselessness of their efforts. But by their actions, God was glorified. The very efforts made to prevent Christ's resurrection are the most convincing argument in its proof. The greater the number of soldiers placed around the tomb, the stronger will be the testimony that he has risen. Next slide, please.
Hundreds of years before the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit had declared through the psalmist, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord." Please slide. Next. Continuing. "And against his anointed, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Psalms 2, 1 through 4. Romans guards and Roman arms were powerless to confine the Lord of life within the tomb. The hours of his release was near. Desire of Ages, page 778, paragraph 2.
Continuing the reading, and we'll end our chapter 80 with the reflection from chapter 1 of our lesson book entitled, God with Us. Since Jesus came to dwell with us, we know that God is acquainted with our trials and sympathizes with our griefs. Every son and daughter of Adam may understand that our Creator is the friend of sinners. For in every doctrine of grace, every promise of joy, every deed of love, every divine attraction presented in the Savior's life on earth, we see God with us. The Desire of Ages, page 24, paragraph 1.
Continuing. Sin represents God's law of love as a law of selfishness. He declares that it is impossible for us to obey its precepts. The fall of our first parents, and with all the woe that has resulted, he charges upon the Creator, leading men to look upon God as the author of sin and suffering and death. Jesus was to unveil this deception. As one of us, he was to give an example of obedience. For this he took upon himself our nature and passed through our experiences. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, Hebrews 2:17. If we had to bear anything which Jesus did not endure, thereupon this point Satan would represent the power of God is deficient for us. Therefore Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are. Hebrews 4:15, Desire of Ages, is page 24, paragraph 1, margin.
Amen. So we are going to end our chapter 80 with this hymn. It's entitled, God Himself is with Us. And you can also find it with the melody in number 3 of the hymn book. And there is a link
that if you need it, dear ones, you can be able to tell me and I will put it in the room in case you're not familiar with it. God himself is with us. Let us all adore him and with awe appear before him. God is here within us, soul in silent fear him, humbly, fervently draw near him. Now is all who have known God is worship lowly. Yield thy spirit wholly. Come abide within me. Let my soul like Mary be thy earthly sanctuary. Come indwelling spirit. With transfigured splendor, love and honor will I render. Where I go here below, let me bow before thee, know thee and adore thee, gladly with surrender. Earth deceitful treasures, brighter life and sinful pleasures. Gladly, Lord, we offer thy to be forever, soul and life and each endeavor. Thou alone shall be known, Lord of all our being, light your way decree. We are going to hold all of the questions until we meet again for the review section. So next week we'll be reviewing part one of our lesson in Joseph Tomb, part seven. If you have any other question besides part 7 or any other part, if it need any research, dear ones, you could be able to send it beforehand. And Thursday is the last time that you could be able to send it or hold it until we get together once more. If anyone would like to be able to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Mary bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you once more for bringing us safely through another week. Safely, Father Jesus. We thank you for the words that we have learned today and the experience of you dying for us on Calvary and that whole experience, Father. I pray that we learn and keep those lessons in our minds, Father, and that they may change our lives. Thank you, Father Jesus, for all the children and their participation. Be with their parents. Continuously bless them. As we move on to the next section of the studies, we pray continuously for your blessings. We pray that our minds will be elevated and that we may not miss any of the blessings that you have in store for us. We thank you so much for the return of our brother Rob. Thank you for his healing and the time that he was able to rest, Father. Bless and continuously keep us, and that you may, that everything that we do and say may be to your honor and glory. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next, how about by God's grace, will be a review of our chapter 80, entitled In Joseph's Tomb, part 7, and that will take place July 27, 2024. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 372, paragraph 2. And the scripture is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 from the King James Version, and it reads, "But this
shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their gods, and they shall be my people. And from the quotation, it says, the same law that was engraved upon the tables of stone is written by the Holy Spirit upon the tables of the heart. Instead of going about to establish our own righteousness, we accept the righteousness of Christ. His blood atones for our sin. His obedience is accepted for us. Then the heart renewed by the Holy Spirit will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Through the grace of Christ, we shall live in obedience to the law of God written upon our hearts. Dear ones, may you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath. God bless, and welcome back to all the precious family that are coming back from vacation and also coming back to be able to resume this beautiful Sabbath in Jesus' precious name. Amen.